Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA.
Jim Toronto with you here at WGN. 7:20 a.m. Filling in for Pete McMurray. And we're going to go California. I don't know. I know we can't physically fly there now. If you're from Chicago, you can't even go to California and vice versa. But thanks to the phones, we can. And I'm very excited to have one of Chicago's very own, one of the best actors, not only in the United States, but maybe in the world, multi-award-winning, including the Tony. He's worked with some of the royalty of Hollywood, like Francis Ford Coppola and Warren Beatty and Woody Allen. And if that's not enough, he's Fat Tony on The Simpsons. I mean, that's enough right there. Joe Montagna, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Jim. Happy to be here. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for taking time on this holiday weekend. What's the weather like in California? We're at you know Chicago weather. We got one of those 91 with the 92% humidity days going on right here.
I got you. Well, fortunately, I have a place also on the beach out in Ventura County. So I'm there right now, and it's probably about 73 degrees and beautiful and on the ocean. And so I can't complain, though. Back in the city, you know, in L.A., it's probably in the low 90s as well. Then, the humidity is probably a bit less. But.
Those 15 years on Criminal Minds did you pretty well then, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right. Note to self, get on a long-running TV series and then enjoy your life at the beach.
Exactly. There you go. That's the lottery, right? You won the, I don't want to hear you buying a lottery ticket because you already won.
No. I'm very blessed. You know, it's funny you mention that because I remember you mentioned, I heard in your introduction say I won a Tony Award. When I won that Tony in 1984, I remember one of the interviewers asked me, said it was afterwards, and you go to a party, obviously, afterwards. And they said, well, what's it like to win a Tony? And I said, you know what it's like? It's like, I got to remember, I've been a professional actor in Chicago from 1969 up until 1984. So they asked me, what's it like to win the Tony? And I said, it's like winning the lottery, except I've been buying tickets for 15 years.
Right. You know, exactly. Well, you won. Your number came up. There's no question. And yeah, and now we should mention too. I mean, that was quite a run on Criminal Minds. It just ended right before this whole thing. Right? What was it? Sometime in January when the final episode aired.
That may be. I mean, it's in syndication, so I never know. You know, it just seems like it's not all the time anyway. But we finished filming actually. Oh, God, it was actually over a year ago. We actually finished filming the final 15th and final season, I think it was in February, March of 2019. We've been off for a while, but then they started airing, I guess, later in the year. And then
it was sad to see the show go, but it certainly was one of our favorites, and my wife was really a major fan. She actually got me turned on to it, And David, Rossi is one of my favorite characters, so that's why I watched it. So,
well, thanks. Well, you know, our showrunner for many years when I joined the show his name is Ed Bernardo, and he was a former Chicago cop.
Oh,
I
really?
Mean, that's what he was. He was a Chicago beat cop who after so many years, I think he was on a year force for about 10 years, said. He'd watch TV and say, "You know what? I think I could write this stuff." And he read a book on writing scripts, and he's the guy that created Third Watch, then came out here to L.A. and then ultimately took over, became the showrunner for Criminal Minds. And I remember when he hired me because I came in season three. We met, and he's so Chicago. He makes me sound like I'm from London, England. I swear with his accent. But he says, he told me everything about it. I said, I want to make the character Italian-American, David Rossi, everything. He says, well, God, everything is perfect. I said, yeah. He says, the only thing that's not perfect, I said, he's Italian, I'm Italian. I said, the only thing that's not perfect, you're a White Sox fan, I'm a Cubs fan. I said, we're like perfect. But actually, I've learned to love the White Sox over the years as well, so that even takes care of that.
Well, that's how I've always been. I mean, I was born on the Northwest Side. I was born a couple of blocks off of Addison, about 5 or 6 miles from Wrigley. I even... I even sent you the picture. I played in Wrigley Field when I was 11 years old.
Yes. And, you told me that. Yes, you showed me that. Right.
But at the same time, I've always been a Chicago baseball fan. Admittedly, I'm a much bigger, Cub fan, and I know more about the team, and I followed them since I was a little kid. But my gosh, when the Sox were in the World Series, I certainly wasn't rooting against them.
Oh, absolutely. No. I love the White, and I actually got to know Ozzie Guillen really well, and we did a couple charity events in Chicago, and he's such a great human being. I just loved the guy. We had a lot of fun. And then Robin Ventura turned out was a very good friend of one of our directors on Criminal Minds. So he came out a couple times, came to the set, and actually gave me an autograph. He and Ozzie both gave me autographed jerseys that we hung in our restaurant. We used to have this restaurant here now, actually in Burbank, California, called Taste Chicago. My wife had for 16 years. We just closed it. Talking about good timing, we closed it right before.
Oh, no kidding! Oh my god!
Yeah, see? We just got tired. You know, it was done. We'd read our course. It was great. We had a great Chicago themed restaurant, and we saw the White Sox win the World Series there. We saw the Cubs win the World Series there. So our job was done. You know, so it was on. We went.
Well, people,
but I got to know the White Sox guys pretty well, the managers, and that was a lot of fun.
Well, people should know that you are a Cub fan because, of course, amongst not only your acting credits, which are, my Godfather 3, I mean, that's enough, right? I mean, you were in The Godfather. As you said, I've seen on an interview, you were in the Star Wars of Italian movies.
Yes, the Italian Star Wars, yes, exactly. My friend Vinny Guastafaro told me when he heard I got the role. He goes, man, you're in the Italian Star Wars.
But people also, if they don't know, they should know that you wrote one of the longest-running plays that's been on Broadway and played everywhere else. It always plays here in Chicago. I was lucky enough to have appeared in a production here locally, too. The great baseball-themed Bleacher Bums about the Cubs and those crazy Bleacher fans, especially back in the 70s. And I'm just old enough to remember those people. I remember going to the bleachers out at Wrigley when it was like $2 and there was no one in there. It wasn't the highest.
Exactly.
I mean, now it's the highest ticket at Wrigley. At that time, it was the cheapest one.
Oh yeah, no, I go back to a buck and a quarter myself, and yeah. It was like great. But I knew that there was. You got to remember, this was the Cubs back in the '60s and '50s, '60s, '70s, and I'm thinking, you know, at a dollar and a quarter, you know, I think was overpriced in terms of. In terms of the caliber of baseball, but not really. I mean, that was part of the charm, and that's why I got I conceived the play and then co-wrote it with the original cast back then, which included guys like Dennis Franz, you know, who everybody knows from NYPD Blue, and the late, great Stuart Gordon was the head of the Organic Theater back then. But, yeah, I mean, the Cubs were like, you know, thank God for 2016. You know, we finally got justification.
Oh, no kidding.
All,
it all came together.
But yeah, sitting in the bleachers was, I used to think, this is theater out here, and that's where the idea came from. And luckily, we were able to come up with a play that was done very well over the years.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk to you today, because, I mean, you've been on Chicago media quite a bit. You've always talked about a lot of different things. You've always been very nice to come back home and support different things. And you've thrown the first pitch out at really many times. I mean, you're a fixture there. But one of the things I wanted to I wanted you to talk about was because you did something a couple of months ago that. For me, that was just really cool. I can't explain. I can't even find a word except it. I know it's a stupid word, but it was just really cool. It was really nice. And I want to give the people just a little build up to this. As I said earlier in the show before I called you, I had a chance to play the role that you originated in Glengarry Glen Ross in a local production here in Chicago of Richard Roma from that play. And I saw you do that role with Peter Falk in the touring company probably in the mid-80s here in Chicago. I believe it was at the Auditorium Theater. And
I think it was the old Blackstone.
Oh, so yeah, you're right.
I think
yeah, you're right.
Merle Ruskin
yes.
Theater.
Yeah, that's right. It was the Blackstone. But anyway, so I saw that role. I was mesmerized. I was 20 yet. I never even thought I was going to be an actor, but I just remember loving that play and loving that show. And in the back of my mind, I was like, well, that would be kind of cool. Well, as weird things happen in life, you know, I wind up finally getting one of those dream roles that I've always wanted to play. Out of pure fancy, I knew somebody. You've got so many connections here in Chicago. Everybody knows Joe Montana, it seems. And so I was able to get your email, and I sent you an email out of the blue, and I just explained who I was. I explained that I had been in the play and how much I admired your character and in the play, and I got a chance to do it, and it was kind of just a really great moment. And I just wanted to thank you for that performance because it influenced me. And you not only, you know, came back with an email within 5 minutes, which I never even expected you to respond, but it was great that you responded. Long story short, we wound up trading emails, and in fact, a few months later, my wife and I went to your restaurant, if you remember.
Yep.
Before it closed, we saw about 20, we were there in 2018. Joe was so nice. I expected him maybe just to spend 5 or 10 minutes with us at the restaurant, you know, and thanks, and that's more than I even deserved. He wound up spending almost an hour and a half with us, and it was amazing, and I really appreciated it. And so we've kept in touch, and I'm not going to, you know, bound on our, I mean, I wouldn't say we're friends, but we're certainly acquaintances, and I've appreciated the kindness that you've given to me. But the coolest thing is, so in March of this year, everybody, if you listen on a regular basis, you know that I've got this big Elton John collection. I'm a big Elton John fan. That's why they call me Elton Jim. So I was on this TV show that's filmed here in Chicago, but it's a nationwide show called The Collector's Call. And it highlights people with a big memorabilia collection. And so they came to our house last summer, and they filmed my wife and I and all the different things that we have. And they edited it together, and it was finally on television in March. And that is the MeTV, Channel 23, is nationally seen. It's locally here in Chicago where the studios are, but it's seen around the country. And it was very cool, and it was on television. I got a lot of things, you know, a lot of feedback from people that they saw it and blah, blah, blah. Mostly friends and family, right, as you would expect. Well, take the story from there. A couple days later, I got an email from Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah. Because we on occasion, you know, I watched that station only because they show old Columbo reruns, which against Peter Falk, as you know, was a dear friend of mine. And so sometimes after that, that show would come on, Collectors. And it pops on, and he goes, and now we're going to go to a guy, you know, da, 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 with Elton John stuff. And I go, oh, this would be interesting. And up pops you and your wife. And I go, oh, my God, it's Jim. It's Jim Toronto. And so we watched my wife. I called my wife and I said, you got to see this. This is the guy that, you know, came to the restaurant last year, whatever it was. Ba, ba, ba. And we watched the show. And, of course, I had to reach out to you and just let you know that, hey, Jim,
yeah,
you know.
Well, yeah, but you reached out.
You got to see me on TV. I get to see you on TV.
But not only did you reach out, the cool thing was you took a picture of you standing next to your television with me on the screen.
That's right. I had my wife. I said, quick, take a picture. Yeah, I said, quick, take a picture. I'll send it to the guy. I'll send it to him and his wife. And he'll know exactly once he sees the photo what this is about.
It was it was so cool. I open up this email from Joe, and he says, hey, I turned the TV on. I saw you. And then I scroll down, and there's a picture of him in his house standing next to his screen with me on it.
That's right.
It was so cool.
Right.
You certainly did not have to do that, and it was just really very special.
It just makes the world go around, you know what I mean? It's all good. I mean, I feel I've had a very blessed life, and I mean, I used to think when I was a student back at the Goodman School of Drama, you know, which used to be the Art Institute, and it's now the theater school at DePaul University. This is, I'm talking 1966, 1967, and there. And I remember I'd watch the Tony Awards, you know, as a struggling actor, student actor, thinking, wow, look at that. Man, look at that. What that must feel like. Look at that guy. You know, how cool to have a career like that. And to know that I can kind of, you know, after all said and done, that I've had that career, and I feel very blessed and very fortunate. And people have been very kind and important to me in my life to kind of give me a little boost here and there, whether it was a teacher or a friend or whatever it may be. So, like, no, I life, as Chico Escuela says, life's been very, very good to me, you know what I mean? And so, why not? So, I mean, it's great, Jim. You and your wife are wonderful people, and it's great. I'm happy for your success.
I just thought it was cool that you watch television.
Yeah, sure. Everybody was. Especially now, everybody's watching television.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, exactly. That was right when everything started. Could you hold on one second? I got to take a quick break, and then we'll just come back. I won't keep you too long. Yeah. I just wanted to cup on a couple things.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, great. Jim Toronto filling in for Pete McMurray this afternoon at WGN 720 AM. We've got Joe Montagna on the line. We'll take a quick break, and we will continue talking to Joe. So don't forget, wash your hands, mask up, and no switching. Right now, it's about 2:25 in Chicago at 7:20 a.m. Jim Toronto with you. I've got Joe Montagna on the phone, one of Chicago's very own, one of the most celebrated and respected and well-liked actors in the business. He's been kind enough to join us here on this holiday weekend. One of the things I wanted to mention before we let you go, right before the shutdown, Joe, you had directed a show that was playing here in Chicago, and it got shut down like everything else did, but I was just wondering if there were any plans to bring back the one-man Lenny Bruce show that you directed that was playing at the Royal George Theater.
Ronnie Marmo, who wrote the play, it's a one-man show, and I directed it, and we've had a tremendous success with it here in Los Angeles, and in New York we'd had it off-Broadway. And we came to Chicago, and Ronnie really had never spent much time in Chicago, of course, fell in love with the city. The city fell in love with the play. It was doing just wonderful, just spectacularly. And then, of course, the virus happened, and it all had to stop. But, however, the one thing good about it, it being a one-man show and it being kind of show, we're going to be able to hopefully do it. The plans are to do it similar to kind of way we did it off-Broadway, which was in a kind of a cabaret setting. So, in other words, we've done it in L.A. where it was more like in a theater setting, like in an arena kind of seating. But in New York, and then hopefully again in L.A., or in Chicago, rather, we're going to be able to set up like tables and chairs, like a nightclub, and be able to have an audience of maybe like 25 to 30 people. Because with a one-man show, you can sustain it, perhaps, with an audience that big. I mean, ideally, we were getting close to 200 people a night when the show pre-pandemic. But even if we can get it open with the 25, 30 people a night, it'll be a real event, I think, for the people who go, because it'll be like seeing Lenny Bruce in a nightclub back in the 50s, in a way. Because the way Ronnie does the performance, much of it is like his act. A lot of it is just storytelling. A lot of it is just telling the story of Lenny's life. But working in that cabaret setting with people being, spaced, significantly apart, having their drinks, being able to watch him perform. It's a short show. It's like, it's like an hour and 15, 20 minutes with no intermission. It's kind of perfect way to bring theater back, to this, hopefully, the post-pandemic era we're hopefully going to enter. But, we'll see. Like I said, everything is, we're working on that right now. And I know a lot of the theaters need everybody's support, especially the theaters, the smaller theaters, especially like in Chicago, places like that. And a whole bunch of us actors, myself, Bryan Cranston, Tony Shalhoub, have made these little videos to help support, local theaters around the country. And we're going to do one that's also going to, help some of the Chicago theaters as well. And it's important. We want to keep live theater going as much as possible. And it'll all come back someday in some form.
Were you a fan of Lenny Bruce?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I was pretty young when he was performing live in Chicago, but I remember when he would come through. I mean, I think my brother got to see him a few times because my brother's like 8 years older than I am. But I remember when I was about 15, 16, I'd hear about him being at like the Gatorhorn or Mr. Kelly's or wherever it may be in Chicago. But and I did the play Lenny in Chicago back in 1972, I think, the road show, the Broadway show that came through. Our version is a whole different show. It's a one-man show written by Ronnie Marmo. The other show, Lenny, was written by somebody else. He changed comedy. I mean, without Richard Pryor, you wouldn't have had, or without the Lenny Bruce, you wouldn't have had Richard Pryor, you wouldn't have George Carlin, you wouldn't have had comedy as we know it today. But anybody who sees the play will understand that. It's really, Ronnie does a wonderful job of just kind of, in an hour and 20 minutes, showing you the life of this incredible comedian. And his daughter, Lenny Bruce's daughter, has been probably our hugest, biggest fan, and has been our great supporter and has helped us all along the way
in
keeping this thing alive. Yeah.
Well, Joe Montagna, I just want to thank you so much for taking time on your holiday weekend. As I said, it was such a really just genuine, nice gesture. he saw me on a TV show at his home while he was after he was watching Columbo, and he took a picture of himself watching me and then sent me the picture, and it was, I just thought it was so cool. Of all the kind of nice jobs, and we enjoyed it, that one just was one where I took a step back and I said to my wife, I said, look at who I just got an email from. So, you know, everybody talks about it, but I just wanted to have the proof. Joe Montana is a good guy.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jim. You're a good guy yourself. You and your wife are great couple. You're great, perfect Chicagoans. Just nice people. Nice people from the Midwest, and you got talent. You got spunk. You got the whole deal. You got the whole package. So
I appreciate that. Well, thank you so much. And best of luck. And I have to say, I think your daughter Gia was great in The Middle. She was one of my favorite characters.
Oh, great, great, great. And, she's got a movie out now that you can stream. It's called All for Nikki, Nikki. You can find it. That she produced, stars in. She's done a wonderful job. So God bless her. She's
very good. She's
done all right. But anyway, thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you for taking time, and hopefully we'll see each other at a Cub game soon.
You got it, pal.
All right.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Joe Montana, all-around good guy and all-around amazing actor. Taking time for to take a little call there. You hear it all over. Amy Kite guarantees she'll sell your home or she'll buy it. Well, it's still true. You've got a home and it needs to be sold. So you call Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. And as long as you're making that call, you realize, well, maybe it isn't the best time to be selling a home. I mean, can people even come by? Well, yes. Remember, if Amy Kite guarantees that she'll sell the home, or she'll buy it if she doesn't sell it. And your job is just to get the house ready to be sold. Then, using the technology of today, Amy will do a Zoom or a FaceTime and any kind of phone meetings that are needed. And she'll set up a virtual open house that virtually opens everyone to see your home. Using the Matterport technology, it allows potential buyers to physically walk through your house without being in your house. So you'll never miss a showing. Use this time in your house to prepare your house for Amy to sell it. So contact Amy Kite today at 847-877-9881. That's 847-877-9881. Or visit amywillsellyourhome.com. Take a quick break. Be right back. No switching.